the Big Bang Theory now is being debunked. Okay? Everybody's saying that the Big Bang Theory, nope, that never happened. Now, you have to remember the history of the Big Bang Theory was an insult to tell somebody that, oh, you're a Big Bang Theory. Okay, it's like today now telling somebody, oh, you're a creationalist. Okay, that's what it was with the Big Bang Theory when it first came out. It was a slander against people who believed in the Big Bang Theory. Okay, then it became accepted. And then it became, if you didn't believe in the Big Bang Theory, oh, you're one of those. You're on the outside. Now they're coming out and they're saying that, no, science is proving that there was no Big Bang. Okay. Well, what happens? Are we supposed to all just change this? And are we supposed to forget about all the things that we were told and taught in the past? Like, oh, from here we'll just reset. It's a blackboard. We just wipe this clean and go from here. Okay, this is where we look at it. And so when we go through this teaching tonight that I'm going to do is the wise and the fools. And what we're going to see is where the world views things, where Yahweh views things. Okay, and they are not the same. As a matter of fact, they're exactly flip-flopped. Okay, under Yahweh's eyes. So here's, I get emails, and I probably should stop them someday, but yes, if you can read this up at the top, that is not a typo. That is from Barack Obama, and it is Stand Up for Science, okay? And I get these emails all the time, and it says, friend, when it comes to fighting climate change, the single biggest obstacle we face isn't scientific or economic, it's political. Amen! Holy cow! Yes, you are absolutely right. But what they're trying to do is, it's political for these guys, not us. We're not the political ones. They're the political ones. Right now in Congress and across the country, too many of our elected officials still publicly deny the science of climate change. That needs to change. Americans across the country are standing up for science. And that's whatever that is, Obama, it'll show on the next one anyways. The OFA is building a team right now to take on the fight of climate change deniers. That is what you're called now, as a climate change denier. Okay, that's the slogan that's been capsulate this and target it. You're a climate change denier, okay? Every year, the effects of climate change are felt more and more in our communities. Consider the consequences of extreme weather like historic droughts and record-breaking storms. It jeopardizes the future we'll leave for our children. Do you think he cares about the future he's leaving for his children? Okay, I think he cares. He's adding tons, thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt on every child. Okay, but you're a climate change denier. Okay, just so you know that. Okay, there's your tag. That's what you've been labeled with. Here's another one that I got, and it's organizing for action. Friend, okay, climate change deniers are running out of excuses. Lately, you can see them starting to crack. But far too many deniers among the elected officials. That's unacceptable, and our job is to make sure that no one gets away with it. We're building our team of folks who want to hold deniers' feet to the fire. Add your name to be part of this fight. Denying climate science looks less and less credible every day, and we're starting to see some elected officials who have questioned the science in the past to embrace it. Okay? Telling somebody something over and over again, people start to believe it. And this last week I watched, it's a new show and it's on North Korea. And it's inside North Korea. And it's a Japanese guy who did this. And he has hidden cameras. And boy, if he gets caught, they'll shoot him. He'll be lucky just to get shot. Yeah. But he's gone through here. And this is just recently that he's gone through there. And they talk to the people. And it's funny because there was a movie about North Korea, Kim Jong-un, where these guys are going to go in and assassinate Kim Jong-un and whatnot. The people really believed that this guy does not go to the bathroom, because that's what they've been told. He is too high up to have to use the bathroom. And people believe this, or so this is what's preached to them and taught to them. And so I'm like, when you tell somebody something over and over again, and people start to absorb this and take this in, and it works, because now we're going to get rid of all those people. And this is where we look at the fools to get what they want. Yes, this is all political, and the fools to drive what they want to do. Don't think that the adversary for one instant uses that against the body of Christ, against the church, against speaking in tongues, against prophecy, against manifestations, against healings, against miracles in general, that the adversary is going to squelch it. He's going to do everything he can to come against this. And I love this from Mark Twain. It's easier to fool people than it is to convince them they've been fooled. Now think about that. Let that sit for a second, because that is a fact. And you think about the undoing. I always used to remember that going, it's harder to unlearn something than it is to learn something. Okay? Adversary is very aware of that. And it's a stubbornness that we as people have to kick aside. I did that. I did that in part of the things of the Word, of what the Word said to do. Well, I've never heard that before. And yet, when Wendy told me over the phone, I looked it up. There it is. How do you deny that? How do I say that it's not in there? And I'm like going, well, how did I not know that? Well, it was a new learning, and you have to be able to put aside all those things to take on those new learnings so that if you were fooled, you can be unfooled and not be that person that's harder to convince. Paul and I'm not...
Sophonesis,
that's it, in Corinth, okay? And so there's a little background to this. The Jews were seeking a sign. Okay, so this is as you go through the Word, there's nothing new in the Word. Everything just replays. It just rotates around. It's a circle that just keeps spinning around. At any point, you can look and say, that's where this is. That's where these people are. This is where this group of people are. The Jews were seeking a sign. What do you think the Greeks were seeking?
Wisdom.
That's exactly right. They wanted the wisdom. Okay, the wisdom. And so as they're searching for this, we want a sign. We want the wisdom. And both of them are not doing the correct thing. They're not doing... You think of that, well, wisdom, that sounds pretty good, to be wise, okay? Wise in what? Wise is what wise is associated with, okay? Yeah. Only with what it's associated with. Is Daryl, or what's his face, Hawkins, the guy who's in the wheelchair?
Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking, thank you. Is he wise? In physics, he is very, very intelligent, okay? In things of this world and things that matter, he's an absolute fool. He's a fool, okay? So is he a wise? Is he looking for wisdom?
No.
No, absolutely not, okay? And anything outside of that, again, I said a long time ago when I did a teaching that if somebody told you you stood on your head for an hour and you just received paradise, or you received, you know, the publisher's clearinghouse, you know, the $7,000 every week for the rest of your life, people would be like, yeah, where do I sign up? And I said, okay, if you go run a six-minute mile, you also get that. And everybody would be like going, I will do it. I may kill myself in the process of doing it, but I would do that. But it's a vapor. We're looking at this as like going, okay, here's somebody looking for wisdom in this vapor, when looking for the wisdom for what's going to be, what we're going to be promised. Okay, here it is. Sophonesis. Okay, however that is right here. I thought that was neat, though. Savior of his nation. That was kind of a neat thing there. Give him a little. He's the guy who gets the gold star, the kudo for the week here. We recognize that there be not among you divisions, but that you be fitly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Okay, as the body of Christ, as Christians, as neighbors, as that we doing what the Word tells us. So let's start off here. We got a big one, and you won't see any words come up on the screen here because there's too many to fit on there. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be on page
166.
Thank you.
I wish you heard it.
166 in the New Testament, and about that many pages left over. That's how I used to as a kid. I'd always look when people would flip. I'd look to see about how much thickness on each side of the Bible was there, so I could pretend like, okay, I know what
I still do that.
It's just when you get to those books that only have like a couple of pages. I just hold this up and pretend that I'm reading along here. Look up and see what page people are on.
Yeah, which part?
And all of a sudden people turn the page and you better be following.
Oh, yeah. Well, now you know where they are if they turn the page. Yes.
That's right. Okay, I gotcha. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1. Okay, and we're going to be starting in verse 15 through 31. I will read this because this is a mouthful here. Okay, here we go. In verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Lest any should say, into my own name I am immersed. Yea, I immerse the house of Stephanus also. Now, I should back this up a little bit. When Paul comes to these guys, there's a dispute over who you're being baptized under. I'm this person of that person, blah, 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 blah. And it's causing contention. That's why that last thing that I put on there, that you are fitly joined together. These guys are not fitly joined together. That's leading into the story. So in verse 15 again, lest any should say, into my own name I am immersed. Yea, I immerse the house of Stephanus. Also, besides, I know not whether anyone else I immerse. For Christ sent me not to be immersing, but to be telling the good news, not with the wisdom of discourse, lest void should be made the cross of Christ. For the discourse which endureth concerneth the cross, unto them indeed who are perishing is foolishness. Okay? Let that sink in. Unto them indeed who are perishing is fullness. Do you think that that matters to them? Do you think telling, do you think showing the sign to somebody who is perishing that they care? No, it might be something, hey, that's an oddity. I wonder how they did it. Oh, there's a trick to that. Something's up with that. Same with the wisdom. The same with the wisdom, folks. Yeah, those that are perishing, okay? Hawking's perishing. Mm-hmm. No wisdom. There's no wisdom. Does he care? Does he care about that? What this says makes nothing. It means nothing to him. That's where we can't be. We bust the dust off of our shoes. We brush it off and we move on when we come across this. Okay? So let's see here. I am in 18. Unto them indeed who are perishing is foolishness, but unto them who are being saved, unto us, it is Yahweh's power. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning will I set aside. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Hath not Yahweh made foolish the wisdom of the world? For seeing that in the wisdom of Yahweh, the world, through its wisdom, did not get to know Yahweh, or Elohim. Yahweh was well pleased through the foolishness of the thing proclaimed to save them that believe, seeing that both Jew for signs do ask and Greeks for wisdom do seek. Whereas we proclaim a Christ who hath been crucified, unto Jews indeed an occasion of stumbling, and unto Gentiles foolishness, but unto the called themselves, both Jew and Greek, Christ, Yahweh's power and Yahweh's wisdom, because Yahweh's foolish thing is wiser than men, and Yahweh's weak thing is mightier than men. For be looking at the calling of you, brethren, that there were not many wise according to flesh, not many powerful, not many highborn. On the contrary, the foolish things of the world hath Yahweh chosen, that he might put to shame them who are wise. And the weak things of the world hath Yahweh chosen, that he might put to shame the things that are mighty, and the low-born things of the world, and the things that are despised hath Yahweh chosen. And the things that are not, that the things that are, he might bring to naught. So that no flesh should boast before Yahweh, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who hath been made wisdom unto us from Yahweh, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, even as it is written, he that boasteth in Yahweh, let him boast. Okay? And so this is where the world, and this is something that we have to constantly do, because we go to battle against this every day on media, on everything we face, that you become ashamed if you are a Christian. I remember that in a school I went to one time where a guy stood up and said he was a Christian. I'm like, well, that was pretty bold. And I'm kind of looking around the room, and you can see some people rolling their eyes like, oh, great, here we go. And I'm thinking to myself, that's what the world wants to do. They want to steal that away from you, to silence you. I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to put anything on my car. I'm not going to speak to anybody about it. I'm just going to be a good Christian. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Well, you're supposed to speak. You are supposed to say those things. The foolish and the wise. Let's go to Psalms 14. About the middle of the book. Tell me
what chapter?
Chapter 14. Oh. And it's going to be on page 534. Oh. And if one of the kids wants to read this, if you get to it here pretty quick on 534.
Me. I'll do it.
Okay, do you got it? Just it's first one and two. I only have one on the screen, but it's one and two. Can you read both those for me?
Yeah, but at my top page it says number six.
Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll read this one and I'll help you.
Why did you read it? Go.
Okay, go ahead. I'll let you do the next one, Melania, okay?
The impious hath said in his heart, there is no God. They have acted corruptly. They have done an abominable deed. There is none that have doeth good. Yahweh out of the heavens looked down over the sons of men to see whether there was what should wisdom inquiring after Yahweh.
That's it. That's exactly it. Okay? And the impious, and some of the other translations will say the foolish or the fools. The impious is more of an egregious attack against Yahweh in particular. Okay? And so in verse 2, when you see that, what is the wisdom? What's the wisdom? Inquiring after Yahweh. That's the wisdom. That's where wisdom comes from, inquiring after Yahweh. That's where David was wise in the things that he did, because he would always inquire after Yahweh. So while we're in Psalms, let's flip over a few pages to 53, Melania. I'll let you read the first two, and then I'll read the second two of this here. On chapter 53.
Okay. Oh, chapter 53?
Yep, on page 555.
Okay, chapter... Here I am.
Okay, it's 53. You read 1 and 2, and then I'll read 3 and 4. How's that grab you?
The emphasis hath said in his heart, there is no God. They have acted corruptedly. They have wronged
perversity.
There is none that doeth good. God out of the heavens looked down upon the sons of men to see whether there was one that showed wisdom. Inquiring after God.
Very good, honey. Very good. And again, you see that again. Yahweh looks down on the sons of men to see what? To see if any of them showed wisdom. Inquiring after Yahweh. In verse 3, they all have turned back. Together they have become tainted. There is none that doeth good, not so much as one. Are the workers of iniquity without knowledge devouring my people as they devour food? Upon Yahweh or Elohim have they not called? If not called. That's the wisdom that we're referring to here. A wise man inquires from Yahweh. A wise man will inquire from somebody else who inquires of Yahweh and get information that comes via Yahweh. That's wise. That's wisdom. Okay, that is worldly wisdom that the other people that are looking into, being the physics, the sciences and whatnot, that's a different. And there's nothing wrong with that in some aspects, as far as like medical and some of the things that are fantastic, but it's when it becomes an ideology. But that's the difference between them. The world's views about Yahweh, and so this is kind of an interesting thing, because it's on the attack, and you see this. I see, where is it, in... New York, I think now, they're starting to celebrate holidays that are Muslim holidays. Okay? Is that a problem? Well, when you look at the fact of the Christian holidays that have come under attack, mm-hmm. and how welcoming we are to do the other ones, it's not an ordinary. It's no longer Christmas break. It's holiday season or winter break. Okay, winter break, because we've got to take the one out, but we'll put the other in. That's the tainting that we just read about, the tainting that you see in here. So the world's view, no creator at all. Okay? No creator at all. That there are other Yahwehs or other Elohims or other creators that are foreign, that are false gods, that are non-gods. And then this one I kind of like, that there's partial creator or a soup starter. You know, the people who believe that Yahweh came here and just threw a batch of junk on the earth, and whatever happens, happens. There's life in that blob of stuff, and it'll evolve and everything else. Yes, there's a creator, but he doesn't really care. It's not like you pray to him or anything else. He threw it down. That's what got everything started. There are a lot of people, and there are a lot of Christians that fall into this aspect. The Christians that believe that evolution, and when I'm talking evolution, I'm talking about macro evolution, new species, okay, of coming about. That these types of things, a lot of Christians believe that what started, you always start something like, going, well, did he create us in his own image as a being? you know, or as a mouse.
Yeah.
Okay, this is not what it says. It's not. And to those Christians, I would tell you to read the word, read through Genesis, and read. It's very, very instructive, and it's very specific. To be called upon when in need, almost like a leprechaun or a genie. You know, I've never asked you for anything before, and I need my three wishes now. There are those people, and I've run into a lot of them, that they believe that there's something, they haven't dedicated their life, and there's no wisdom to them to inquiring of Yahweh, and that everything happens for a reason. Okay, this is a very, very common belief for people, that everything happens for a reason. Okay, so obviously he wanted this to happen. We don't explain that, but these are views of Yahweh. That Yahweh helps those that help themselves. Okay, I was raised that way. Yahweh helps them who helps themselves. Okay, scripture and verse. Okay, not in the word. Not in the word at all. Not in the word. And so to say that to somebody means like, oh, am I that needy? Am I inquiring too much of Yahweh? Yeah. Am I coming too much to him to inquire of things? Not in the word, okay? That being a good person is all that is needed. Yeah. That all roads lead to Yahweh. Okay? Yeah. A lot of people believe that, and I will tell you that that is false. Yeah. And that all roads lead to Yahweh is a popular belief amongst a lot of people, and it's completely false. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. Mm-hmm. There's no fool so great a fool as a knowing fool. But to know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom." Mm-hmm. Again, I liken this or connect this right back up to when Yahweh looks out for those who will inquire of Yahweh. The most wise ones here, okay? Is it not true wisdom which sees only foolishness in the ways of Yahweh? Okay? Again, is it not true wisdom which sees only foolishness in the ways of Yahweh?
Yeah.
That's the world's point. Mm-hmm. That's the world's point. You believe in Yahweh? Okay, I'm sorry that you're weak, that you have to do this, you have to rely on this. And as I was going through this, I was looking for quotes, and I came across a lot of people that I'm like going, oh man, I wish I didn't know that person believed those things, because some of the quotes from these people are people that I like.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, and they're just blatant, you know, sticking their finger up to Yahweh.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like going, golly, why? But that's it. It's no, we believe that there's something, but I don't have time for it. That was one of the person's quotes. I believe there's something, but I don't have time for it. And I'm like going, okay, well, you enjoy your little vapor while you have it, okay? Because that's all you have.
Sit down.
And here we go. Here's some of them right now. These are some of the people who are higher education stars, if you will. Okay? And fools. They're absolute fools. What they're teaching in things of science outside, there's wise within that realm, and then there's wise of things that actually matter. For those things that Yahweh says, store these away that do not rust or do not have moss attack. Okay? Devoured. Perished. All perished. On the contrary, it is the wisdom of this world which is foolishness to Yahweh. 1 Corinthians is back about on the same page. I think it actually is the same page. So you guys leave a ribbon there from the first time we were there.
Now you tell us.
I did, actually.
I'm gonna make you get the page flipping.
167.
Thank you. And if somebody would read that for me when everybody gets there. 167, chapter 2, verses 10 through 16.
6 chapter 20.
Yeah, go ahead. You can just go ahead and start there. 167. Just call out the verses as you go.
Okay, chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians. Unto us, in fact, hath Yahweh revealed through the Ruach, or the Spirit. For the Spirit into all things maketh search. Yea, the deep things of Yahweh. For who of men knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in him? Thus, even the things of Yahweh hath no one come to know, save the Spirit of Yahweh. But as for us, not the Spirit of the world have we received, but the Spirit which is of Yahweh, that we might know the things which, by Yahweh, have been given to favor unto us, which we also speak, not in words taught of human wisdom, but in such as are taught by the Spirit. The spiritual words, spiritual things, explaining. But a man of the soul doth not welcome the things of the Spirit of Yahweh, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot get to know them, because spiritually they are examined.
Are they
examined? But the man of the Spirit, one on the other hand, examineth all things, but on the other, he himself, no one is examined. For who hath come to know the mind of Yahweh that shall instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
That's it, and that's the difference. That's the difference for the believers as we look at, okay, that we inquire of Yahweh, and we're able to inquire of Yahweh via Christ, who paved that way for us, that we could do that. And so if you told somebody you have the mind of Christ, you know, they're like, well, where? Where? Oh, okay. But that's the, it just explained that the people who do not have Ruach or Spirit are not going to be able to discern those things. Right. So it's foreign to them to do those things. And so that's where, that's like a first step to be able to have that. Well, you can't do that without these things. You know, it's like a, you know, you watch a movie and the person has to have a superpower. Well, until you have the superpower, you can't jump from building to building. Well, yeah, well, I'm not going to try. Okay. Same thing with the discerning, that the Spirit, the Ruach is what discerns it for us. Flip over, actually, same page, 18 through 20. Can I get another adult to read this one here for me? 3:18 through 20, actually, one page over.
Let no one be deceiving himself. If anyone imagineth himself to be wise among you in this age, let him become foolish, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with Yahweh, for it is written, he that taketh the wise in their knavery, and again, the Lord, Yahweh, taketh note of the speculations of the wise, that they are vain.
That's it. That's exactly it. And so he taketh the wise in their basically in their craftiness. So those that are in their craftiness, he is going to take them in their craftiness. Okay, so that's where I kind of look at the Big Bang Theory, and I kind of laugh at that, because he's taking them back in their own craftiness. What they just preached for the last 50 years, that if you didn't believe this, that you were a fool. Now, we're switching. Oh, wait a minute. Let's backstep it, man. We might have been wrong, but you were so right when you said this. You were so right on that. Well, now we're right. Oh, okay. You're right now. Okay, I get it. I can see that. All right. Another one here. This one was kind of a neat one. This was a reverend from England in the late 1700s, early 1800s. The world loves to be amused by hollow professions, to be deceived by flattering appearances, to live in a state of hallucination. Boy, I'll tell you, that's just like, holy cow, to live in a state of hallucination and can forgive everything but the plain, downright, simple, honest truth. And I saw that, and I'll tell you this, I didn't put this up here, but there's a professor in Oakland, University of Southern California, who came out and people were talking about ISIS, how bad they were. And his retort to that was, at least they have kindergarten and health care.
Oh.
That's what his retort was. Okay, and I'm like going, unless you're one of those people that's in the cage or on the receiving end of the knife. Okay, but that is hallucination. I mean, how far out can you possibly be? But people are just like going, well, that's a good point. No, it's not a good point. Okay, that'd be like saying, well, Hitler was really good. Look what he did for the highway system. Yeah, well, look at all the other stuff he did too. But that's it, and that's where I see that. So the hallucination, and from the higher education, Paul asking, where are the wise? In Athens, in Corinth? Where's the scribe? In Jerusalem? Where is the debater? On the hill, in the synagogue? Same things that Christ went through as well. Yet ask them all, has Yahweh not rendered foolish the wisdom of this world? All paths do not lead to Yahweh. Okay, that is a false, that is a lie. It is a lie that people told, that if I, well, I'll get there eventually. Well, you might not. Okay, if you change your ways, if you do what the word says and change it,
yep.
Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, following in the vain imaginations of their heart. Last verse here, last one here that we're going to look up here. Romans 1:19-25, page 151, and I will read this 19-25. You there?
Yep.
All right, good job, girl. 19 through 25, starting in verse 19. Insomuch as what may be known of Yahweh is manifest among men, for Yahweh unto them hath made it manifest. For the unseen things of him from a world's creation by the things made, being perceived, are clearly seen. Even his eternal power and divinity, to the end they should be without excuse. Holy cow, for somebody who can discern, we don't need a sign. We don't need the wisdom outside of the wisdom that Yahweh has given us and told us and continually pours out upon us. In 21, in so much as having come to know Yahweh, not as Yahweh did they glorify Him or give Him thanks, but were made fruitless in their reasonings. Wow. Mm. And darkened was their undiscerning heart, professing to be wise. Boy, I had that underlined in mind when I went through here. I'm like going, yeah. Professing to be wise, they were made foolish and exchanged the glory of incorruptible Yahweh or Elohim for the likeness of an image of a corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed beasts and reptiles. Wherefore Yahweh gave them up in a covetings of their hearts unto impurity, so as to be dishonoring their bodies among them. 3:25. Who indeed exchanged away the truth of Yahweh for the falsehood, and rendered worship and service unto the creature rather than unto the Creator, who is blessed unto the ages. Amen. Okay, and that is outstanding. So that, for people who do that, when you see that the science deniers, okay, that's what we're looking at. This is where we can go and show people this. Those people do not discern. They don't understand the wisdom that's coming from Yahweh. Right. That guess what? This whole world's going to burn. Everything is going to burn. Every life, every animal, everything that's left here that is not taken is going to be perished. Okay, is going to go. Yeah. So that's it. And so I'm going to show you something, and it's comical, but it's not. It's sad to me, but it makes me laugh when I see this. But these are the people who have sold themselves into the creation. And this is a group out of North Carolina, and I'm not going to play the whole thing because I can't stand it, to be perfectly honest. But this is what happens, and this is where people sell themselves and get so involved.
Deep in the woods of North Carolina, an extremist eco-group called Earth First bewails the violation of American nature.
I want to mourn the loss!
What?
Of all the old growth! Trees I've seen! And tell them that we love them and that we don't want them to die!
That's all I can stand. I can't take it. The trees.
They're
mourning the trees, the loss of the trees. They want to tell the trees that they love them, and they mourn the loss of them. And all these people are bowing down and worshiping to a dead tree that fell down. I'm like going, holy cow, okay? But this is an extreme to it, but this is where things are going. I tell you this right now. They're trying to push this through that they can, that how you eat is damaging to the environment. And I knew this day was coming because it's going to be, we've already gone after cows with their methane gas and everything else. It's a way of pushing people into being vegetarian is what that is, okay? Through it's bad for the environment type of thing. And this is the same. It's no different. It's just a step down the road is all that is. And it's a pretty quick step.
Yeah.
Proverbs 18:7, the mouth of a dullard or a fool is the ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul or his life. Okay. Mm-hmm. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of a wise giveth discretion to his mouth, and upon his lips increaseth persuasiveness. Mm-hmm. Okay. Persuasiveness to those who will discern and those who will actually listen. The world wants to see a sign, but having eyes do not see. Okay, and that's it, because you do see, and there is everything. So for those people who are looking for the sign, I've heard people say that, and as out of good intentions, they'll say that. I just like to see a sign. I'd like to see a miracle sometime in my life. Well, have you looked around at all today, for crying out loud? So I'm going to show you one more video, and then we're going to be done. I will caution you, there is a brief bit of nudity in this. I didn't do this video. It's a couple naked breasts. Okay. If you want to close, it's a beautiful song, and it's not in being perverse. It's to show the beauty and the miracles. Whoops, need to go back one here. So, anyways, let me go back here, and I will play this here. Like I said, there's just one little spot. But listen to the words. It's a good song to where it'd be nice to do it with other graphics back behind it.
Just another ordinary miracle today.
Christ.
You've already seen the whole thing. It's done.
It seems so exceptional that things just work out after all. It's just another
Sarah McLachlan. I like that because a lot of the graphics in there, that if you look around, you see some things. I'm like, going, I never even thought about that with the dandelion.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a parachute with a seed built down at the bottom of it, that the seed lands down into the ground in the grass. I'm like, going, all the things that you look in the seed, like even one of the verses, that the birds know where to go. The birds know where to fly in the spring and the fall. They already know where to go. They come right back to the same spot they were born. Okay, and the seed that you plant, so you don't have to do anything for it. You just plant it and it grows. I'm like, oh, and there's so many of them that we see if people just open up. We don't need a sign. We have it. And if you want the wisdom, we go to Yahweh to get that wisdom.
Amen.
All right. So that's it. We also have Aaron's birthday we're celebrating. This is from Africa here. It's not from the zoo. Those are real giraffes back there.
Real live.
Real live giraffes. Giraffes. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and close here, and then we're going to have a word for all those that are listening here. Yahweh, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you and to go through and to increase our wisdom, that as you have said, that you look to see who it is that comes before to inquire of you. And that is wisdom, that as we inquire with you, that is the true wisdom of the things that we need to know. And the foolishness of this world that we put aside, that we do not get ensnared or entangled with this or caught up in the currents of the world, the way that they try to pull and drag, that we anchor securely into your words, that we are able to stand above this current, and that we are there to inquire and to seek your wisdom, to seek the wisdom from those who are also seeking your wisdom as well, that we come to each other to hear from you. And we thank you, Yahweh, for your Son, for being able to come to you and have place in you, that you have made a temple within us, that we are the holy now, that you have written that we are the synagogue now, the new temple, our bodies are holy, and that we are a shrine, and we thank you for that, and that we carry that and wear that as we go about, that if we have that upon our mind and upon our tongues, that it makes us walk with a different swagger, with the authority and the knowing of what we have and the knowledge that you've given us, that we are able to hear from you, that we have the faith that you have told us, that you the promises that you have made, that those things will come true, that they are all faithful, and we thank you for that, so we're able to anchor onto these things, and for the words that you give us, for just a wonderful coming up week. We just thank you for this, and all this through your Son's name. My children, come before me and bow yourself down, that I may be able to impart things to you, that as you do these things, that become peaceful, and do not think that you need to be talking to me the whole time, but as you bow down before me, let me hear you. Let me hear you verbally say the concerns that you have, and also the blessings that you have, that you speak these things out, that you remind yourself of the wonderful things that I have given to you already, that as you do these, pause in between, that I may be able to impart things to you, that as you are speaking, your mind is active. But as you stop and as you hold your tongue, that I am able to, in the quiet times, in the peace, as you are waiting, I will fill these things. I will impart the wisdom upon you, that you will have the understanding that you are seeking, and my understanding that I am not a creator who mystifies or leads somebody on a torturous ride or a device, that I am with you, that I am standing beside you, I am rooting for you, that as you come before me, I am your guide, and I am there to bear with you on all the things that you've done, that it does not please me ever to see you in pain or in hurt, but know that as you come before me, that I can minister and that I can relieve.